Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Man, we got a good show today. Christy Monson is here today. Christy is a retired marriage and family therapist. She practiced in the Las Vegas area for many years. She's an author, and she's written a book called A Woman's Guide to Internal Strength. You're going to like the things, man or woman, that Christy has to say if you're reintegrating at this time. If you're a family member of someone that's reintegrating, you're going to want to hear this as well. Christy Monson, right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey, how about letting me know how you're doing? You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Let me hear from you. Welcome back. My guest today is Christy Monson. She is a retired marriage and family therapist. She has practiced in the Las Vegas area for many years, and she's an author as well. And today we're going to speak with her about her book, Becoming Free, A Woman's Guide to Internal Strength. Christy, welcome to The Journey of Hope.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here.
Why don't you give us a little bit of your background so that we know where it is you're coming from?
Well, I worked for years as a marriage and family therapist, like I say, in Las Vegas, and I enjoyed my clientele. And as I got ready to retire, I looked back over my practice to really see what had caused people to change. Because, of course, you work with a large clientele, and many people change, and some people don't. And so I looked back to see if I could find the characteristics of people that did exact change in their lives. And the conclusion that I came to was that people that were really motivated were the people that had a vision, that had set goals for themselves, were really looking towards the future, and they were people that worked hard. So I found those two mm-hmm. characteristics really among all the people, whether they were male or female or kids or whoever I worked with, that were really willing to change. So then I wrote this book, Becoming Free, just as a tribute to them, mm-hmm. To the people that I had worked with that exacted change in their lives for the better.
Well, you say that this book in particular is a guide for taking a look at things like procrastination patterns and self-defeating behaviors. How does one go about identifying these kinds of behaviors?
Well, in the beginning of the book, in the first couple of chapters, I talk about long-term goals and short-term goals, because I think if we don't have a vision, we really can't see any change. And so I think we have to see ourselves as changing. We have to mm-hmm. make our short-term goals match our long-term goals. But sometimes mm-hmm. along the path, we have got some self-defeating behaviors or some things that keep us from reaching those goals. And, of course, those self-defeating behaviors can be, well, they're different for all of us. Every person is going to have a little bit different. And some people might have procrastination as their self-defeating behaviors. Somebody else might have perfectionism as their self-defeating behaviors. So I think we have to look at those. And if you look back at your childhood, if all of us, including myself, look back at our childhood, we can mm-hmm. find some mistaken beliefs that we ran into or that we developed as we were growing up, and really not necessarily the fault of anyone, but it's just how we as a little kid looked at the world, and that view of the world doesn't fit for today. So we need to go back and look at those thinking patterns that we developed as children, and be able to identify those, journal them, or talk through them with a friend, mm-hmm. and then be able to put some mantras, some positives in our head Like, for instance, I can get things done on time. I am a hard worker. I can do hard things. And I don't ever like to set mantras for people. I think it's important that they set their own because they can really write the things that will work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So this really is a pattern that I worked through with people. And if in the first several chapters of the book, this it sets out a pattern. And at the end of every chapter, there's a worksheet or a list possible goals that people can set. And of course, I say in the beginning of the book that everybody can set their own and make their own the way they want.
Right.
But there's a pattern there at the end of each chapter. And it's kind of a book of stories, plus it's full of, it's a workbook for people to work on as they find it necessary.
Great.
The thing that I think is that if we change our thinking, we're going to change our feelings, and then we're going to change our actions. So, first of all, I've got to change my thinking. And if I can redo those mistaken childhood beliefs and redo my thinking, then my feelings are going to change, and I'm going to be able to have some positive actions in my life.
Okay. Well, a couple of excellent points you've raised there. Let's talk about goal setting. Do you talk about how to set goals, the process of doing that, and can you fill us in on that a little bit?
Yes, I do. And a lot of times we January is our goal setting time, and we set our goals in January, and then we promptly in 3 weeks forget them. And so we have to think outside the box a little and be able to tweak it a little, do something a little bit differently. I talk about the fact that it's okay for us to set goals all through the year. I've got, I had a client that owned his own bakery, his own business, and he always set his goals in the fall because, of course, he had holiday after holiday after holiday to take him through the first of the year. So that was a better time for him to set goals. Sometimes school teachers want to send them in. So set your goals a time of year that will work for you. And then I think it's good if you write them down and be able to share them with a friend or a group of people. I had people bond together in self-help groups, and some of them were for like abuse survivors or whatever, but some of the people just got together because they wanted to have a group and they were a goal-setting group, and so it was people that they could set their goals and work on with them. And then you not only have to have friends that you talk with them about, but it's a good idea to have a daily reminder. And I had one client that used to put a penny in his shoe, and that penny was just not much of an irritant, but enough of an irritant that it helped him remember to keep his goals. Somebody else put jelly beans in a jar, and every time he did whatever he wasn't supposed to do, I forgot what it was now, he took the jelly bean out of the jar. So I tried to keep the jelly bean jar full. So whatever works for people. To help them remind. And then the other thing that I think is important is you have to have some time. And for me, it's always once a month, the first of every month, and I want to go back and look at my goals because I probably want to change them a little. If I've accomplished something that month, then I might want to step it up another notch or whatever. And the other thing is not to get upset at myself because sometimes I won't meet a goal and I'll think, okay. So I think, I just got to start over again on that one. So then I raced last month and start over again on it. Maybe tweak it a little so it will be a little bit different for me. So we all have to be flexible in how we do it. And I've got on my website, I've got a list of problems that people have, like perfectionism and procrastination and body image and those kind of things. And people can go and print those off if they want to. And that'll give them a list of some place to start if one of those problem seems to be something they need to work on. They can go there and print those off. It's a good place for them to start.
Okay. One of the childhood beliefs that you mentioned is that, I don't know if I read this or if you just said this a second ago, but it sticks in my mind that one can't make decisions because of our childhood beliefs, our decision-making process. Talk to us a little bit about that. And how we can improve that?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I found in my work, especially with the women, that sometimes we just have a difficult time making decisions. At least I know that I have a difficult time making decisions some of the time. And I've had many clients that did. So that's an excellent, excellent question. For me, I have to give myself a 24-hour rule. Sometimes people are think and talk people. And I love people like that because you ask them a question and they just blurt out what they think and they know exactly what they think and how they feel. But I'm not that way. I have to give myself a chance to think about it. So I took a lot of pressure off myself when I quit trying to be a think and talk person. And I'm a think, filter, talk person where I think about it and filter it through. And then by the time 24 hours is up, then I can make a decision. So that was really helpful for me. It took a lot of pressure off. One of the things that I had my clients do and that I do myself is I think it's a good idea to just brainstorm every possible solution you can come up with. Maybe I can think of 15 things that will possibly work, and maybe I'll ask my friends if they can help me think of some more. And then I narrow that list down because, of course, some of those things on that brainstorming list are not going to work, and I know that.
Right.
And so then I filter that down to maybe a list of 4 or 5. Then I list the pros and cons of each of those 4 or 5 decisions. I'll just put them on a paper, list the positives if I do that, list the negatives if I do that. And that helps me really think through things thoroughly. So then I can come up with, I think, well, you know, this might be the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we get stuck because we're black and white thinkers. Hmm. We think, well, it's all or it's nothing. And that really isn't true. We can find a lot of gray area in there to work through things with. So,
great information. We're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come right back with Christy right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all. Remember, you can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Mathers, Rodney, at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. And welcome back. We're speaking with Christy Monson today, and we're talking about, getting ourselves together and taking a look at our past and changing the things that need to be changed in order for us to have a full and productive future. And Christy's background comes from counseling, and she's an author. Let's move into communication skills. I think that you mentioned this, and it's a vital part of who we are, isn't it?
Communication is the name of the game.
Yes.
And sometimes I find, well, there's several ways we can miscommunicate, or at least I can miscommunicate with people. If I am thinking that somebody's talking to me, and so I'm thinking of what I'm going to say next. So I get that all formulated in my mind, and so I'm really not listening to the other person.
Right.
And so it helps if I can stop when I feel, come tell me I'm doing that in my head, I can just say, stop, Christy. And then I concentrate on what that other person is saying. I listen to them. And then I say to them, now let's see if I've got that right, what you're saying is. And then I repeat back what I've heard that person say. You know, that does so much to improve our relationships with people if somebody knows they've been listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And I found many times as I worked with clients, sometimes they didn't need me to fix it or solve the problem. They needed somebody to just listen to them. And then they were bright and intelligent and forward-moving, and they could figure the answer out themselves. All they needed was a sounding board. It's like sometimes it's like holding up a mirror, and I could hold up the mirror for them because I then could reflect back what they were saying, and they could say, wow, I didn't mean to say that, or did I really say that? Did that really come out of my mouth?
Yeah,
and
but
so,
it helps in our personal relationships too, doesn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
when I learned the value of actually listening to what my wife was saying to me, I think that our marriage improved. It was quite a revelation. But listening to people is just so vital. It's a vital part, and sincerely listening, not just sitting there and shaking your head yes or no. I mean, you know, when you ask somebody, how was your day, be interested in it, right? I mean, you know, listen to what
absolutely.
They have to, and actually feel what it is they're saying, right?
I think that's absolutely beautifully said. That is so important. And my husband and I have been married for 50 years now.
Wow.
And, you know, he talked to me this morning, and I talked back to him to tell him what I was thinking, and we really had a listening conversation. And so we're still doing that, even today, after all these years.
Do you find that the listening part of it's not totally automatic? I mean, it's something that you have to work at, right? I mean, and it's continual. Right.
Absolutely. And I think we find, as I worked with clients, you find people that are maybe have a hot temper and they just pop off at somebody. Those people have the most difficult time stepping back and really listening.
Hmm.
And, you know, if we want to be credible with our partner or our spouse, listening is an important thing to do. The other thing we need to do to be credible is to be able to talk rationally. The more, if we pop off in anger and don't have our temper under control, we come across as not looking credible.
Okay.
Because somebody will say, oh, they're just blowing off steam. Don't listen to them. And that's really sad, because that person isn't really blowing off steam. That person really does have something to say. But the way they're saying it, the vehicle they've chosen to say it, is not a positive way. So if we can take a step back and take ourselves down a notch and take a few deep breaths and take a little time out and then come back and say what we have to say,
mm-hmm.
The thing we have to say is very credible and very important, but we have to say it in a manner that it can be received.
Do you find that women have, let me see how I can delicately put this. Do you find, you know, when you think about people popping off, I think of it, you know, the first thing that comes in my mind is a man with a short temper. But women have short tempers too, right?
Oh, I love how you said that. I don't think we can generalize it to one sex or the other sex. I think sometimes men can be a little can batter along with their anger, and we find that sometimes. But I think we all tend to have to learn to control ourselves, and so I think that's an important thing if we want to really be credible and have good communication skills. There are other ways we can cut off communication. I mean, sometimes you'll find hot families where people just argue with each other all the time, and sometimes you'll find cold families where people just shut up and don't say anything to each other, and they just go along and
I think that's worse. I see that too.
True.
Yeah. People need to talk to each other, don't they?
Yeah.
I think when you're arguing, to not communicate is just like playing unfair. You know, it's like the low blow when you don't respond. But the reason I bring it up about the difference between men and women there is the point I'm trying to get to is this book is geared towards women, but there are things in this book that men could glean from it as well, I'm assuming, right?
That's absolutely correct. In fact, since you've asked the question, I'm going to tell you a big secret about that book.
Okay.
I wrote it as applying to all my clients. And in the beginning, I had men and women. I had examples of everybody in there. And the marketing people came back and said to me, of course, after the publisher had accepted it and it had been edited and whatever, the marketing people came back and said, oh, you have got to narrow the market on this. You have got to make it for a specific group of people. So then they decided that I needed to make it just for women. Mm-hmm. So I would love to have somebody read through it and see if they can identify the articles or the stories that were about men.
Well, this
because
whole,
I had to change it. So then I had to go back through and edit it all. And so the men's articles are still all in there. The stories are still all in there. They just I've changed them so that it would look like women. So they really, the articles are for everybody, and it was written about all my clients. So very good question.
Well, I figured that, this population that listens to this show, me included, one of the issues that is recurring on this show and one of the problems that a lot of us have in our life and the reason we got in trouble to begin with was this whole idea of impulse control. And I think that what you're doing is a good job of telling people to slow down and take a breath. And I like that a lot. Another thing you talk about is filling one's life with positive energy. Let's talk about that for a second. We're getting kind of close on time here, but when you talk about filling your life with positive energy, give us some examples of how to do that.
Well, the book is divided into three sections. The first section is goal setting. The second section is communication problems. And the third section is about the ways we can put positive energy into our lives. So I talked in the beginning about a vision. So I want to visualize myself as being successful. I want to visualize myself as moving beyond whatever my past is and seeing myself as I can become. And we can do that through writing. We can do that through art. We can do that through goal setting, and we can do that through service. So there are many ways that I can begin to see myself differently. And not only do I want to visualize, but I want to put the words down. I'm a hard worker. I can do hard things. I can get beyond my past. I can look forward to the future. I am kind. I am caring. Whatever it is that you need to put in your head, begin to say that. And don't just say that once or twice, but you say it over and over and over. People that have a religion, use your religious base, whatever it is, as a place for beginning to write your mantras. I love the 12-step program to let go and let God. Mm-hmm. All of those things are very good to begin to write your own mantra so you can change your vision.
Cool. How do we get the book, Christy?
The book is on Amazon. The book is also, and there are free articles on my website, www.christymonson.com.
Cool.
They're free articles. You can just print off of there and then order the book. You can order the book there. There are links to Amazon there.
Okay.
But, check it out.
Everybody listening, be sure you check out the web. We like free stuff here.
Good job.
We like free stuff. Okay. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being here today, Christy Monson. This looks like an excellent book, A Woman's Guide to Internal Strength, and also a men's guide, apparently. So everybody can enjoy it. Christy, thank you for being here on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really have enjoyed visiting with you. I appreciate it. You have a great day.
You too. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. one more time, you can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Alrighty, end of another show. I want to thank my special guest today, Christy Monson, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? See you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.